You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Radio. Yeah. You know, I watch the, like all of you, I watch the news. And, I don't get like the whole Chicago thing. How does the murder rate go on in that city year after year after year after year? How does that work? And something different's going to happen now. It's just, honestly, it's crazy to me. And then I don't know, so, and I said this relative to the, when the president was contemplating the, you know, the application of the Insurrection Act of 1807, you know, relative to New York City. That applies when you have a government, a state government that has been disbanded, that's non-functional. So what are federal officers going to do inside of a city that has a fully functioning government and a fully functioning police force? They just have chosen to go down a different path, like Seattle did, right? Embracing the street festival that descended into murder and anarchy. And, oh, that wasn't predictable, was it? Oh, no, it wasn't. So, but this kabuki dance we're doing, right? How do you operate as federal officers? What are you doing, right, inside of a city? I don't rightly know, right? And is the whole thing just political theater in an election year? Is that what it all is? So I don't know. I'm watching it. I don't know how it works. I don't understand, you know, the I don't understand the mayor of Seattle. I don't understand the mayor of Portland. I don't think they really understand their oath relative to law and order, where it's okay for certain groups to, you know, it's supposedly run one set of rules applies to all of us. But it doesn't seem that way. It seems like if you want to break the law, if you want to ransack parts of the town, like one set of rules applies to you. And, but in terms of law enforcement, another set of rules apply to them. So I don't know. I'm kind of like watching this with moderate interest in terms of how do people think this turns out? You know, Chicago, right? They had what, 15 people get shot at a funeral yesterday? I mean, crazy stuff. Now, baseball started again. And so now we are going to endure the social messaging of athletes, of entertainers, if you will, who are now going to, you know, put their 2 cents in. And so, as I prepare to endure this, and the advice I give to everybody is just tune in the bottom of the first inning. Avoid the national anthem, avoid all that stuff, and just, you know, enjoy the entertainment. Okay? You don't need to subject yourself to it. Just don't show up until the game's on. Yeah. Yep, there's a solution for you. So, but anyway, I thought about, you know, when you look at the, you know, when you look at one of the things that's, that when someday when people write the history of all of this, what you're going to say is that what's going to happen was if you look at the data behind the killing of unarmed people in this country, you know, those are relatively small numbers. If you look at the killing of unarmed black men, those are very, 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 very small numbers. But what the Black Lives Matter movement was successful at doing was taking video of the incidents that did happen, and some of them straight up horrible, okay? And convincing a nation through the power of video that the United States is an institutionally racist nation. Now, they do that with something that's been going on. The mechanisms are things that have been going on in the country for years, and that is these things have blossomed on our campuses across the country, controlled by liberals, right? And so fertile ground there. The whole social justice warrior thing, right, trained on college campuses across the country to include the techniques used, right? So if you want to get somebody fired, the catchphrase is, "I don't feel safe here anymore." Yeah, that means his intellectual position has somehow or other threatened my physical safety. Now, I'm not exactly sure how that happens, but people get fired over that. So what you see is an empirical argument that can't be made, okay, on the basis of the numbers alone. But if we throw the video in there, and if we get on our social media platforms and we have a media that no longer pursues the truth, we can go ahead and we can get, I think a Wall Street Journal poll yesterday that said the majority of Americans, and I believe what the poll was talking about was institutional racism. And then you have people talking about their anecdotal anecdotal episodes of idiots who were racist. And those are real, no doubt about it. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist in the country. I am saying this, is those people should get out and travel a little bit. Go travel a little bit. And then they'll gain a whole new appreciation for their country. A whole new appreciation. So just get around the world a little bit. Go to Russia. See how you like Russia. Go to Europe. See how you like Europe. Go to the Orient. Go to Asia. See how you like Asia. And then I think your perspective on the United States is going to change. So, but I'm not going to lie to you. I can't help but be bothered, as a lot of people I know are, by the whole kneeling for the national anthem. So I've had this thing in my head, like, empirically, there's a case to be made for standing for the national anthem. And so I thought, well, since 2001, just as a way to illustrate that, since 2001, if you added up all of the nations killed in action, killed in foreign countries, you know, conducting operation, and so there's killed in action, you know, other people's killed during operations, as trucks roll over, as helicopters crash, all that attributed to those operations, right? So if you added all that up, what would that number be? And then if you add it up, right, since we're talking about Black Lives Matter here, if you added up all that number, what would that be? Then I thought, well, Mac, I mean, come on, if you do that, you know, the number's going to be like over 7,000 to what? And so then the thought popped in my head, if you go back to the Washington Post database, you can dig those numbers out at least back to 2015. Okay, and then you have to use other databases beyond there, or you can kind of estimate that, right? And again, I would say this relative to that database: what I found in 2019 and 2018 was that of those incidents in 2018, there's 17. In 2019, there's 10. In the country, right? If you go down and do the footnotes, this is what they say. Not charged mental health. Vietnam veteran, and actually, he wasn't even a Vietnam veteran, right? Mental health episode, resisted, tased, continued the arrest, fought hand-to-hand with police officers, and was shot. Right? Next one. This one wasn't charged. And I'll just read these two. Riding a bike, police officers pulled him over because riding against traffic and weaving, right? Fought with a police officer. Struggle went hand to hand. The suspect gained the upper hand in the fight. Grabbed the officer's flashlight. The officer shot and then killed him. Okay? So he has the right to defend himself, the inherent right of self-defense. So with the exception, I want to say, of two in 2018, so that means 15 of the 17 were not charged and deemed justified. One was deemed an accident, and the other one, the suspect, ultimately was found to have shot his grandmother. So after they did the forensics, it shouldn't even be on this list, right? It was found that the suspect, drug dealer, in a shootout with police, he ultimately shot his grandmother. So that leaves two in 2018 that the police were culpable for. But let's just say it's beyond that. Let's just, for the sake of discussion, say it's 20 a year that somehow they're mythically don't appear on this list. 20 a year times 20, if I'm not mistaken, is 400. Okay. So that is the number in 20 years from 2001 to 2020. Let's just say that's the number of unjustified police shooting. And let me tell you, right? If I were to use the number that I should use that the data gives me, it's 2 a year. Okay? It's 2 a year. And that would give you 40, but I won't go there, okay? Let's just say it's 20 a year. Unjustified police shooting. All right. Let me begin to do the math on what you get when you add up the numbers of deaths. Okay. So this is from the Department of Defense casualty status as of 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on July 20th of 2020. So Operation Iraqi Freedom. 4,431 total American deaths. 4,418 U.S. military personnel and 13 American contractors. Okay, now I'll get to the wounded later. Okay, I'm going to round the wounded off. 32,000 wounded in Iraq. Okay, Operation New Dawn. Okay, and that is it was conducted on the Arabian Sea, in the area of Bahrain, the Gulf of Aden, the Gulf of Oman, Iraq, Kuwait, Oman, Persian Gulf, Qatar, Red Sea, Saudi Arabia, UAE. All right, total American casualties 74. So there's 74. Operation Enduring Freedom. Total American deaths, all right, 2,353. Let me go back. I screwed this up. I screwed up because I'm doing it on my calculator, right? So let me plug the numbers back in. Sorry. 4,431. You're probably doing it in your head. You go, Matt, come on. 4,431 plus 74 plus 2,353. All right, so we're at 6,858. Operation Inherent Resolve. Ninety-six U.S. military, 2 DOD civilian. So, plus 98 equals 6,956. Operation Freedom Sentinel. This is in Afghanistan. After December 31st, 2014. And it's a total of 95. This is how the DOD categorizes it. So, 7,051 Americans have lost their lives fighting America's war in the last 20 years. Compare and contrast that with 400. And that number is grossly overstated. I'm just saying, just for the sake of argument and illustration. So you can pick which number you want to compare and contrast it to. Okay? Somewhere between 40 and 400. To me, it doesn't matter at all in this discussion. So, is the problem that we didn't send home enough compelling video? Is that the problem? That you don't really understand the sacrifice that 7,051 Americans made? So, it's all in the video, Mac. If you don't have the video, then, I mean, we'll just wave our hand at it. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so those are people that were killed in action. How about wounded in action, Mac? How about that? So we'll estimate. No, we won't. I got a calculator. What the hell? 31,994 in Operation Iraqi Freedom plus Operation New Dawn, 298, plus Operation Enduring Freedom, 20,149. I'm being careful with my calculator so I don't screw it up this time. All right. And then let's see, Operation Inherent Resolve. And then Operation Freedom Sentinel, 571. Not a small number. So the grand total of wounded in action is 53,243. So we just don't have compelling enough video of every one of those events. And so it doesn't really exist. So when you're talking about the considered decision to take a knee during the national anthem to protest what was clearly a cop out of control, clearly someone, in my opinion, who should not have been on that force because of his previous record. But because of the compelling nature of the video, right, things that have happened are this, right? Politicians are scurrying to get on the right side of the issue. And so they have cut budgets without even, in my opinion, doing the due diligence of what it takes and who's impacted. That's an act of moral cowardice. Okay? So in this cry of defund the police and a different way of policing, I think probably something that absolutely should be looked at. How do we do this better? How do we keep this from happening? But that's not going to take you to city council meeting. Okay? In two city council meetings, all you will succeed in doing is aligning yourself with people who you fear politically, as you scurry to curry their favor. And if you took a breath, and if you looked at the truth, right, the elusive truth that doesn't seem to matter in our nation anymore, you would find that the trend in the United States is downward. That's what you'd find. And if you footnoted it, you would see that one of the biggest problems we have to do is we have to get black men to stop resisting arrest once they're about to be taken into custody. If you could do that, you'd go a long way to solving all of this. But the truth, not so much. Now, relative to standing or kneeling for the national anthem, if you just took the 5 minutes I've taken, maybe 10 because they are entertainers and I don't know what kind of math skills they have. Now, that's me slamming a whole industry. I'm sure there's some very, very bright people, but I'm sure there's also some not so bright people there. You could actually ask your agent to do it. Hey, man, could you figure out for me, could you do the math behind this? So 53,243 Americans wounded in our wars since 2001. The global war on terror, as it is. Another 7,051 who've been killed. So that's over 60,000 Americans whose lives have been forever changed, whose families mourn them, those that have been killed. And I probably should, you know, I should probably, I don't know if there's a way to get my hands around the number of suicides of people that have fought. But that won't be a small number either. And so when you look at the case to stand or to kneel, right? I think if you took a few minutes to consider the numbers and what the truth is, you would find a way to not be disrespectful to those who are buried under the flag. They're my opinion that you're disrespecting. And now you're hearing all of this. Oh, no, it's not. You know, it's not disrespect. Look, I got it that it's your right. I'm just saying that if you look at the numbers, I think before you disrespect over 60,000 people, 60,000 families, you might want to give it some thought. You might want to find a better way to do that. You might want to find a better way to do that. So anyway, that's been in my head for a while. Just the empirical case. But again, you know the big problem? You know, we don't have enough video. That's the problem. Yeah, Mac, I mean, come on, get real. You know, understand the sentiment. But, you know, if you guys don't have video to back it up, then come on. You know, that you can't clip and throw into a, you know, a tweet, right? That you can't, you know, throw up on Facebook of the graphic nature of the way, you know, these people died. Then, I mean, really, how are you going to make your case, you know? Yeah. And that's where the nation is today. That's where the nation is today. And so I've had that in my head. The somebody sent me this pretty interesting poll. This is published in the Washington Times, but 2/3 of voters now believe major news organizations have a political agenda. The public's distrust of the news media continues, though it is far more pronounced among Republicans than among Democrats, according to a new poll. Almost 2/3 of likely U.S. voters, 63%, believe most major news organizations in America have their own political agenda, according to a new Rasmussen Report survey, which found that only 27% of the respondents felt that the large news operations are impartial. Those people can't really be paying attention, though, can they? I don't think they can. Honestly. So I'll put the link to this casualty PDF published by the DOD, just in case anybody wants to do any number checking. So, should we rethink policing? I think we should put together task forces in communities, because what you're going to get to is this. If you spend any time devoted to the truth and once the shouting stops, and that is that resisting police is a problem, and somehow or other that's got to be undertaken. Okay. And then you're going to see a whole series of conclusions reached about the failure of the nation, of states, of cities to deal with, right, long-term poverty, which has to do with education and economic opportunity. It also might have to do with sending jobs overseas at a really fast rate under this misguided notion of globalism. And so jobs that used to be union jobs that paid good money and had a good retirement, had good benefits, those have all gone overseas because they're too expensive to do in this country anymore. And as a result, I'm going to tell you, the middle class is under siege, which means what? The American dream is under siege. So anyway, but that's just an empirical case for why you should stand for the national anthem. And again, and if that doesn't do it for you, I just and let me tell you, there's been some guys. I just saw a headline. There were some players in the NFL that tweeted anti-Semitic things recently. Coincidentally, they were black, both of them. One tweeted it, and then the other one backed him up. They were invited by Justin Edelman, who's Jewish. He's a pretty prominent football player. Made a lot of money with Tom Brady up in New England. And I think a number of Jewish rabbis to go ahead and have conversations with them and also to visit Auschwitz with them. Now, we'll see what comes out of that. The initial statements post the tweeting were very conciliatory. And so... so the truth, this pesky thing called the truth, doesn't seem to see the light of day very often. But when it does, you know, problems tend to get solved. But my advice to you is if you have an agenda, you got to have really powerful video. Right? Because if you don't have powerful video, then you really can't make the case in this, you know, this non-critical thinking. I look at Twitter for 10 seconds. I form my opinion onto the next event, culture that we live in. And none of that bodes well for the nation. That's how we do things? That ain't good. That ain't good. And I will tell you what, the divide in this country isn't racial. The divide in this country is between people that live in large urban areas that look to the government to solve their problem, and then the rest of the country. Smaller town America that solves their own problem. That's the divide in the country, and I've said that for years. So, good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. You're going to hear from some people that I met up in Montana last week. From the Kingfisher Lodge in Fort Smith, Montana, you're going to hear from Brock and Jenny Bedeker. And they ran the lodge, and they helped create the event. But neither one of them served in the military. And so it's always interesting to talk to them. So you're going to hear from them. And then you're going to hear from a man by the name of Neil Clark, who's on the board of the Bar X project. And he has a house on a lake that is part of the Missouri River chain. And he hosted the event in Helena. His name is Neil Clark. So you're going to hear from them today. Their thoughts about what they saw and last week up in Montana. So, yeah, don't touch that dial. I did both interviews yesterday. They're pretty cool. So, good morning to you. Now that I've made the empirical case for standing. And again, I have no problem, right, with somebody finding a way, right, to call attention to the need to investigate the way we do policing in this country. Because I think that can only lead to good things. If we form task force, if we get after the truth, and I think you're going to see the common conclusions in every community. They're going to see that the trend line among police departments across the country is trending in the appropriate direction. And then we're going to start looking at other factors in these shootings. And then we're going to begin to address those. And I think if you do that, the numbers will go down. The numbers will go down. Okay, but because individuals in small numbers did things terribly wrong that resulted in graphic video, that doesn't negate the truth. It does not. But in our culture, right, in our culture, it seems to. It seems to. Which really ought to concern us all. So good morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio on a Wednesday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This is dedicated to everybody who's going to take a knee while the national anthem of the United States gets played. I hope you do a little research into what you're doing. I hope at some point in your life you do a little bit of traveling so that you can understand that you won the ovarian lottery to be born in this country. And then maybe you'll rethink your disrespect to this experiment in democracy. But I know it's what all the cool kids are doing. So I'll try not to hold it against you personally. But the phrase from the Bible, from the New Testament, right? Out of the lips of Jesus of Nazareth, right, comes into my head. And that is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So this is dedicated to all you. I hope someday that you're able to search for the truth, and then I hope your mind's open enough when the truth contradicts your Twitter feed, the video snippets that you see, that you're able to grow as a human being and appreciate your country, appreciate the process that our founding fathers put into place, and then fight for the things that you believe to be are right, in a respectful and responsible way. So this is to that endeavor.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Just for the record, Jack Riley's the man, okay? He's the man. I started listening to one of his interviews yesterday, and I had to run some errands, so I didn't get to listen to all of it. But I didn't know how smart he was, honestly. My own experience in life wasn't deep enough that I could understand some of the things he said. And now I listen to it, and I'm like, wow. Anyway, time for us to check the weather. We'll take a break. We'll check some news. Pretty interesting stuff going on. The United States told China, get its ass out of Houston. Yeah, close your consulate within 72 hours and get the hell out. I love that. You know, this whole masquerade of totalitarian regimes as something positive on the planet is bullshit. And, you know, the Bush family, you know, just going to open up China and they're all going to join the rest. They're all going to join the party and be nice. Well, in case you haven't noticed, right, the latest investment, quite the irony, I would remind you, that China's making is in its amphibious forces so that it can project power around the world. Yep. And if you listen to the discussion with Grant Newsham yesterday, China's great fear is that the free nations of the world would act in concert against it. They know they're screwed on that deal. So I think it starts with one. You know, the UK joined in, and that's how the subject came up yesterday. The UK joined in relative to Huawei and 5G technology, keeping China out of the infrastructure. So anyway, to the weather we go, something less controversial. But yeah, I want to talk about the thing going on down in Houston. What do you think that's tied to? Chinese attempts to influence people that are developing the COVID-19 vaccine, trying to steal that so they can stand up and say, see, it's really us that lead the world. The technology that exists in their military has been stolen from who? The American taxpayer. Yeah. Trillions of dollars of research and development stolen. George Bush, Barack Obama, just good with it. Hey, no big deal. Amazing. Anyway, the weather cooled off a little bit, but not much. 86 degrees and partly sunny in the Quantico area. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is mostly sunny and 90. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, at this early hour, is reporting sun and 87 degrees. Camp Pendleton is cloudy in 67. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dawn is breaking. Cloudy in 72. Okinawa, Shima, don't you know, is dark cloudy in 82. So pretty steady there. You know, we haven't had any, like, weather alerts in a while. In Afghanistan, evening, clear in 96. In Iraq, it is late in the afternoon, sunny and 110. At the home of All Marine Radio, currently it is 65 degrees under cloudy skies. Looking for a high of 72 today. So a little bit of a cooling trend. 73 tomorrow, 75 on Saturday, and 76 on Sunday, when we're going to actually celebrate Catherine's birthday. That's right. So 27 years old, halfway to 54. Not real happy about that either. And doesn't appreciate it when I say it, which means I need to say it more often. So, exactly. Because I love her. Anyway, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Stars and Stripes. I don't know why, but I find this silly. Number of coronavirus linked to U.S. forces in Korea soared to 111 cases. Okay, remember, one fatality, sports fans, and the entire active component of the DOD. Next headline, Reagan Stripe Group trains with Japanese and Australian warships in the Philippine Sea. We love that. You want to know why? Because the Chinese hate it. What does it mean? it's the symbolism of Japan, Australia, and the United States working together in the South China Sea. Pretty soon you're going to see India participate in that. Yeah. Other headlines. Okinawa Marines announced one new coronavirus case and 16 recoveries related to a cluster outbreak. That's news, man. That's on the front page of their paper. One new case and 16 recoveries. That's news. Right? Here's another piece of news that's on their front page. Another person, as in one, test positive for coronavirus at home of U.S. forces in Japan. Really? I mean, is the news that slow that we're reporting singular cases of COVID-19 in an organization that hasn't had a single fatality? The answer to that is yes, Mac. That's what's going on. You know, we saw an incident happen, I don't know how long ago, I'll find out here in a second. Headline comes from Fort Stewart, Georgia. 13 months ago, a U.S. Army soldier found guilty of negligent homicide in a vehicle rollover that killed a West Point cadet last year was sentenced to 3 years confinement and a discharge for bad conduct, military officials said on Tuesday. Staff Sergeant Ladonis Strong was found guilty of negligent homicide and prevention of authorized seizure of property on Saturday at Fort Stewart, Georgia, according to a spokesperson for the report. She faced trial by court-martial after a June 2019 training accident at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point killed 22-year-old Christopher J. Morgan and injured 19 of his fellow cadets. Christopher Morgan was a wrestler and a law student. Staff Sergeant Strong was acquitted of involuntary manslaughter, reckless operation of a vehicle, and two charges of dereliction of duty in the June 6, 2019 training crash. I think you remember that, right? That it was reported, you know, across the country that there was some kind of mass casualty event at West Point, blah, blah, blah. She was reduced to the rank of private. Cadet Morgan of West Orange, New Jersey, died at the scene after the Army tactical vehicle, similar to a large open bed truck, overturned in the wooded hills outside the main gates of the academy north of New York City. He was a law and a legal studies major in the class of 2020, had been a standout member of the West Point wrestling team. Two soldiers in the truck's cab were also injured. So that's just kind of a follow-up to a story that's kind of the rest of the story. Relative to the Chinese consulate in Houston. The United States orders, this is from the Wall Street Journal, China to close the Houston consulate. The U.S. has ordered the abrupt closure of the Chinese consulate in Houston, accusing China of extensive interference in domestic affairs and intellectual property theft and an escalation of bilateral tension that Beijing called outrageous and unprecedented. Really? Right, it's just calling a spade a spade. Oh, the United States isn't playing the game anymore? The State Department, in a statement on the closure, accused China of conducting massive illegal spying and influence operations throughout the United States against U.S. government officials and American citizens, and said such activities have increased in recent years. That is, in fact, true. Closure order, first made public by Beijing, coincided with Washington's unveiling on Tuesday of indictments against two hackers in China. They have been accused of targeting American firms involved in coronavirus research and stealing hundreds of millions of dollars in sensitive information from companies around the world while working on behalf of Beijing's main civilian intelligence agency, their version of the CIA. In Houston, firefighters and police officers had responded Tuesday evening to calls related to the Chinese consulate, where smoke was seen rising from outdoor courtyard areas, local police said. Footage aired by television stations purportedly showed people burning documents on the consulate's premises. So, this is just, you know, this is just the recognition that it is what it is, you know, and it's about time. I think we should be done with the elder Bush's vision of China. They have no intention of playing with the other kids in the playground, okay? What they want to do is they want to take over the playground. They will make the rules. You will adjust. So all these free democracies around the world will bend to China's will, even though they collectively, you know, the GNP collectively as a free world, you know, is greater than China's by about fivefold. So it is what it is. Another headline I think that's significant this morning is Pfizer and BioNTech get $1.95 billion COVID-19 vaccine order from the U.S. government. Vaccines to be provided to Americans free of charge. Companies didn't specify pricing details. The U.S. has agreed to pay Pfizer and BioNTech, I think that's how you say it, nearly $2 billion to secure 100 million doses. Well, there's 300 million people here. I think we're going to be short a little bit of the experimental COVID-19 vaccine to provide Americans free of charge. Under the $1.9 billion agreement, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Defense will receive 100 million doses of the vaccine should it be cleared by regulators, and can also acquire an additional 500 million doses. There you go. One for everybody in the spirit of democracy. Maybe more than one for everybody. The vaccine, which has shown promising preliminary results in small groups of patients, is set to enter late stage testing this month. So that's good news, right? So USNI news today, and again, important because what happened in San Diego, right? I don't get what happened in San Diego. So anyway, I was just scanning to see if there was any new stories about it, and there is not. Anything in Marine Corps Times? There's an update on where Camp Lejeune stands 22 months after a hurricane ripped through that place and trashed it. I just optically, since I started going there a year and a half ago, there's not as many coverings on roofs, so I think that's good, but I don't know. I think the recovery has been slower because of money situations. Yep. The Secretary of Defense yesterday kind of made an interesting, this is an Associated Press article in Marine Corps Times. Day after SecDef expresses support for Taiwan, the island nation says China is stepping up its threats. But again, there is not, all this news is insignificant to the Australian Navy, the Japanese Navy, the American Navy, and hopefully soon the Indian Navy conducting operations in the Philippine Sea. Then that will migrate to the South China Sea. That is exactly the course of action that is most devastating to the Chinese. Uh-oh, you mean they're going to act together and we're not going to keep doing the kabuki dance? Holy shit. The article goes on. China is sending military planes near Taiwan with increasing frequency and have become virtually a virtually daily occurrence. Joseph Wu told reporters, adding that such flights are more frequent than reported in the media. Along with the Chinese military exercises simulating an attack on Taiwan, the flights by China are causing major concerns for Taiwan's government. Wu said, quote, what it is doing now is increasing preparation for use of force to resolve the Taiwan problem. So Esper, speaking on Tuesday at an event hosted by the International Institute for Strategic Studies, said America remains steadfast in its support of Taiwan. So You know what? As well it should. I mean, there's no historical, if you listened to Grant yesterday, there's no historical claim by China to Taiwan. And then the top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, House Defense Bill strips Confederate bases, base names, curbs president's powers in troops deployment. Now, you can bet your ass that while the Senate will take up Confederate base names, I don't see a way that. How do you oppose that? Even if you say something the president said, and I didn't read the whole article, I just saw the headline. Even if you say something he says, which is, you know, that's part of our history. Got it. But should it be named for those guys? Answer, McNamara's answer is no. No, they betrayed the country. Now, I understand why when we sought to bind the wounds of the nation in the most costly war the nation's ever fought, that was allowed, but we'll probably move beyond that, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. And again, those bases weren't named like in 1870, 1880, right? It was after those wounds had been largely bound and the bases were going to be built and, you know, the Democrats in the South, known as the Dixiecrats, they wielded a lot of power and they said, hey, we'd like to name it for these generals, and they got that done. So, yep. Second story from the Secretary of Defense. Esper, no orders issued to remove forces from South Korea. So, again, we've had these discussions with Germany, and we were having them with South Korea. And that is, you need to pay more. You need to pay more, you know, for the American defense of your country. Look, we're subsidizing your country. You don't have to have the robust military that you should have, given the threat that's to your north, unless you want to be working for them someday, because we're in here. But it's not really a fair sharing deal, so we'd like to see you to do a little bit more. Anyway, so not happening, I guess. Anyway, number three, Trump is determined to bring home U.S. military forces from somewhere. That's in the Washington Post. Number four, concern about federal agents wearing military camo raised by the DOD in an after-action review. I don't really look. So the Secretary of Defense or somebody in an after-action review said it was a concern because camouflage gets linked to the DOD. Okay, what do you want them to wear? Right? What do you want them to wear? You want them to wear blue? You want them to wear like it's around concrete. Should they wear gray? Right? I don't know. Pick a color. Like, I don't know. It's kind of stupid to me. Number five, U.S. service member dies in Syria. Not too many details on the story. The question always is, was it due to enemy contact or was it due to some form of accident? The story has quoted a press release. Initial reports indicate the incident was not due to enemy contact. The incident is under investigation. No name has been released. So, as always, again, no video though. So did it really even happen? If there's no video of it on Twitter? I think for much of the country, you know what the answer to that is? No. No, it didn't happen. And so if you miss the initial part of the program, you know, because there's largely been no video of it, 7,051 Americans killed since 2001 in the war on terror. 53,243, according to the Department of Defense, as of July 20th, have been wounded. So, let me change that. That number went up to 7,052 with one more American. And so when you're, so my point when I started the program today was, empirically, if you took a look at should you stand for the national anthem or should you kneel, you know, 7,052 Americans buried under that flag in the last 20 years, fighting the nation's wars, so you athletes could go out and become millionaires. What an awesome thing. But since you really didn't see any videotape of them dying the horrible way they died, blown apart by IEDs, right, bleeding out from gunshot wounds, since you didn't see any of that, I mean, did it really happen? Of course not. Right? Of course not. So, go do your thing. Anyway, overseas operation. I'm not going to talk about it. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear two different interviews. Okay, the first one is from people I met in Fort Smith, Montana, and they run the Kingfisher Lodge, and they're awesome people, Brock and Jenny Bedeker. And then the next guy you're going to meet is Neil Clark. He's on the board, but he also hosts one of the events. And so you're going to meet both of them, and you're going to hear their thoughts about what they saw last week. And that was, you know, they provide the kind of environment in which, you know, Marines who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan showed up. And the place is beautiful. The food is great. And these guys are just in a great place because they're with their friends. And then they hang out. And then we did post-traumatic winning. So you're going to hear their thoughts on that. So pretty cool. They're both great interviews. And you know, from people who genuinely care and want to help. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.